Huge game this weekend. Oklahoma on the road at Alabama. Our man Tyler McComas, he's going to be down there, host of The Rush on the Ref down there in Oklahoma. Tyler, it's been too long, man. How you been?
It's been way too long. It's been good. It's fun to be back playing meaningful games in November, Mike. Because last year it was, please God, beat Maine in this November home game. Please beat Maine. And now they just went to Neyland and won, which is the best SEC experience I've had. And everyone around here is jacked up to go to Tuscaloosa, man. It's going to be awesome.
Hey, and I heard you ran into cousin Shane down there in Knoxville near Neyland Stadium. How was that?
I saw Sooner Shane. and if you want to talk about big keys for this Saturday, something happened in the game against Tennessee that's never happened before in the history of Oklahoma football. Sooner Shane was there and greeted the team as they got off the bus. Here's my question. You know the whole controversy with the fan shaking John Mateer's hand too hard and pulling the thumb. I saw Sooner Shane over there. I don't know if that was him or not, but he was right in the area where that entire exchange happened. So something maybe worth investigating for you guys.
Yeah, he was down there for a reason. Trust me. I know all about it. But I had you on here to talk Alabama, but I did want to just pick your brain because I know this is year two, so it's starting to become you've already kind of referenced it, being life in the SEC and how now you're playing meaningful football in November, how great that is. But it's still new, I would imagine, to be hitting Tennessee, to be hitting Tuscaloosa. What's it like getting on these really great trips that you didn't get a part of annually in the Big 12?
I mean, for me, honestly, like personally and professionally, it's literally a dream come true, man. I mean, I grew up just loving college football, wanting to go to all these venues. So think about it, Mike, and I know I told you and Shane this before, but we were going to Kansas for an 11 a.m. game where 22,000 people are there. We're going to Texas Tech where they're throwing tortillas and students are leaving. I mean, it just wasn't, it's like a basketball conference. The SEC, we used to kind of make fun of the slogan, but it really does just mean more, man. And going to Auburn and seeing that and going to LSU last year, Tennessee, and just all these different places, it's awesome. I've always wanted to go to Neyland since I was a kid. I don't know why Neyland always separated itself from the others growing up, but Neyland didn't disappoint. I mean, that was 30 minutes before. It's an absolute concert. It's a rave. It was just, it's been amazing, man. It's so much fun, and I can't wait to see everywhere else in the league, dude. It's really, it's been incredible, and it's a special conference for sure.
Well, it was a disappointment for all the big orange or black that day, but not for the Sooners, who now they've got legitimate playoff aspirations here, Tyler. And what's it been like? Because all the Sooners we spoke to prior to the Tennessee game, I didn't see many Oklahoma people picking the Sooners to go in there and win. It felt like to us, it felt like they were pessimistic about their chances. But now that they've done that, now that the John Mateer's looking a little bit better, it seems like there's a lot of optimism among Sooner Nation that they can go into Alabama and get a win.
There is optimism, man, and you're right. I don't know how many people were picking OU to beat Tennessee, and now they did. And it just changed everything. It really changed everything. Because 2 weeks ago today, if you and I are talking, I'm saying, biggest game of Brent Venables' career, and I'm not saying that the OU job is going to open up, but if they lose out, then maybe that's the case. And now that they won that game, it's, oh, Brent Venables' seat is cooling for sure. They've got the roster where they want it to be. They're heading in the right direction. The front office, like everything is really kind of coming together. It's just so funny what a difference just one game can make. Because people were feeling really good going into the Texas game. They don't score a touchdown against Texas again. Everyone's pissed off. They go on the road and beat South Carolina. Well, all right, that's a good bounce back. South Carolina's not very good, but their backs were against the wall. That's a good win on the road. We're back, man. All right, let's go. Lose to Ole Miss. Everyone's pissed off. Go beat Tennessee. That's the best win of Brent's career. Let's go. So you're in the spot that you want to be in mid-November, but it's still been a roller coaster ride throughout, man. I mean, every single week has kind of had a different feel to it. And our joke has been, we've said like five times, biggest game of Brent Venables' career. We said that like five times this year. Guess what, Mike? It's the biggest game of Brent Venables' career this Saturday. And if they win, it's really going to feel like it changes everything for this program, because you're in the crosshairs of, if you win this game, going 10-2 and maybe hosting a playoff game. It's massive, man.
Yeah, no, I think they certainly would. Yeah, let me ask you that. If Oklahoma wins this, they're in the playoffs, right? I mean, I don't think there's any shot they're not. If they're good enough to beat Alabama, at Alabama, they can beat Missouri and LSU, which neither one of those teams have lived up to the hype.
I mean, I don't know how you would keep OU out of a 10-2 OU out of the playoff. Again, I think that they would be not in the SEC championship game, but they're probably, I don't know, a 5 or a 6 seed, something like that, hosting a first-round playoff game. Because look at it this way. What does 10-2 Oklahoma look like? Well, let's look at their resume. Their losses would be to Texas and Ole Miss. I mean, Ole Miss is going to the playoff, in my opinion. Texas is right there in the thick of things. Your wins? Michigan? At Tennessee, who's going to be, I think, a 9-3 team. And then at Alabama, who's probably going to be in the playoff. What teams in the country would have a resume of 3 better wins than OU? Probably nobody. So, yeah, if they go 10-2, I don't think that there should be any question if they're in or not. I think they're in easily.
Right. But, no, I just meant more. I guess I meant, do you have any fear at all? Because I know Missouri's a rival now. Not really, that they lose to Missouri, that they lose to LSU, if they beat Alabama.
You obviously shouldn't. Missouri still has a run game, yeah, and a defense that's solid, right? I think that's a fair thing to kind of ask, because I need to trust this OU team in consecutive weeks. That was a great performance against Tennessee. There's no doubt. Well, I don't know if it's a great performance. They tried to give it away late with the interception. It was good enough to win. But Mike, throughout the tenure of Brent Venables, they'll have a great win and then they don't play well after. Like, I've got it written down in front of me. I looked at this earlier this week. In year one, they went to Nebraska, which felt like a huge win at the time. Next week, they lost to Kansas State at home. In 2023, they beat Texas, had a bye week. Barely beat a bad UCF team at home. Last year, that Auburn win, first SEC win ever, felt big. Got boat raced by Texas. Last year, beat Alabama. How in the hell did they beat Alabama by 3 scores at home? Lost to LSU, then lost to Navy after that. So I think that's a fair question, man. I think they're better than both Missouri and LSU. But even if you win Saturday, this program under Brent has got to figure out how to have consecutive performances that are good enough to win in the SEC, because dude, it's a one score league, man. It feels like that every single week for this team and others as well.
Right. And you know, there's people out there saying Missouri's got nothing left to play for because they're not going to make the playoff. I disagree. I think knocking Oklahoma out.
Oh yeah.
Again, if not a rivalry, it may start to feel a little bit like a rivalry if they knock the Sooners out of the playoff. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but the reaction would be pretty brutal. Don't you think?
That is one of the games this year that you can't lose. And no one's using the rivalry word around here, all right? But it would feel like a loss to a team that you really, really hate and can't lose to them again. Maybe that's the definition of it. I don't know. But that would be a complete disaster. Win or lose this Saturday. If they were to lose that game at home, it would be a complete disaster. I just kind of wondering who Shane's going to root for in that game. I don't know. That's what I'm most concerned with that week.
Sooner Shane, yeah. So heading into this matchup against Alabama, what are the areas that you think Oklahoma should have the most confidence in matching up against Alabama on the road?
Stopping the run game. OU's done a really good job of that all year long. I think they're easily one of the best defenses against the run in the SEC, maybe the best. And Alabama doesn't run the ball like they did every single year with Nick Saban, right? What are they, the number 14 rushing offense in the SEC? How weird is that to say? For as good as Alabama is, and they're good, that they can't run the ball consistently, and they're 14th in the SEC in rushing yards with 111. I think OU is going to make them one-dimensional. Now, that other dimension that they have is pretty good, but most confident, I would say that OU really slows down Bama's rushing game, is what I would say.
Now, how about the reverse? What is a matchup you're least confident about for Oklahoma in this matchup?
Oh boy. Least confident in? I mean, you got to go somewhere offensively, I guess. You know, by the numbers, OU's run the ball much better than at any point that they have at this point this year. Ran it well against South Carolina, ran it well against Ole Miss, and ran it well against Tennessee. Now, Tennessee's not a great defense. Ole Miss and South Carolina, probably not what you call an elite defense either. But the problem that I have, even with those three games, is it feels like those big rushing totals that you see in the final stats really come off of two or three big runs. Like the offense, the first half against Tennessee was a disaster. It was a disaster. I know they led at halftime, but they had 99 overall yards on that Tennessee defense that had missed all that tackles and everything, and they got it right. So OU might pop one or two big runs against Alabama. Judging by the past 3 weeks, that might very well be the case. But they can't go an entire half without being able to run the ball, like what happened in Knoxville. You know, they can't have average 2.3 yards per carry on the majority of their runs, but just pop two big runs to make it good. So a long-winded way of saying probably actually OU's run game, even though it's looked better, against Alabama's defense, because I think Alabama's defense is pretty good. Mm-hmm.
Well, we've been talking all week about this coaching matchup with Brent Venables, obviously on the defensive side of the football, going up against, we call him DeBoering on this show, but Kalen DeBoering and Ryan Grubb, who's done a really good job calling Alabama's offense this season. And we think the Sooners have an advantage there, even though DeBoering and Grubb have done a good job. Would you agree with that assessment?
I mean, they faced off against each other last year, and they held Alabama without a touchdown for the first time since, like, 2004. I know that's a one-game snapshot, but, yeah, I kind of think, yeah, maybe it could be more of a wash. I guess it's just about preference to me. Do you prefer Brent Venables and what he's going to cook up against this Alabama offense, or do you prefer that Kalen DeBoering, as you call it, will be able to scheme some stuff up offensively? I think Brent Venables is going to be able to do some stuff, and he's going to have to, getting pressure on Ty Simpson, maintaining their passing game a little bit. If you want to give the slight edge to Brent Venables, I'll allow it, Mike. I'll allow it and say defense is going to rule the day in this game. So I'll stick with you on that one.
What's your thoughts on the job Ben Arbuckle's been doing? Because I think early in the season, you know, who knows how much legitimacy is to any of these things. But when Oklahoma State fired their coach, there was rumblings, hey, maybe Ben Arbuckle could be the next Oklahoma State coach. I don't hear his name being mentioned much for head coaching candidates anymore. What's your thoughts? I know it's not even been a year yet, but first season, Ben Arbuckle managing the offense.
He'll be back next year. I would say C average probably this year. I don't know if opposing D coordinators are catching up to this a little bit. I think John Mateer's hand injury has a lot to do with it, honestly, and the fact that they can't stay healthy on the offensive line every single week is a different offensive line group. I think it's been a C. Like, look at late in the game against Tennessee. Don't even give John Mateer the option to throw the ball. You've got the lead. You're running it right at Tennessee. Don't even give him the option to throw the ball. Just run the damn ball all the way to the end zone, and the game is over. So I think being on this big stage for the first time, I think he's learned a lot of things, man. And I think, you know, late this year, maybe going into next year, he's going to be better for it. But I think there's been very, very fair to say that there's been some growing pains by him as an offensive coordinator. He had a call 4th and 2 against Ole Miss when they lost that personnel-wise, it was kind of weird what they had on the field coming out of the timeout for such a big play. There's just been some things that, yeah, he is a young offensive coordinator. And you forget about that. The dude's, what, 30 years old out there calling plays in the SEC? And I know everyone was excited about him, and I think that he's been good in some spots and going to be really good in the future. But looking back at it now, these are the things that we probably should have expected, because he's like a 30-year-old out calling plays in this league, man. It's just not easy. So I think a C average, and I think he needs to have a big game on Saturday.
And then one of the criticisms that we hear about John Mateer often is he's just not seeing it that well. He's missing kind of open guys, I'm not saying missing the throws, but missing that these guys are even open and not attempting the throws. What's the theory in Norman, why that is?
I think there's a lot of theories. Maybe he's not trusting his protection a lot, and you can understand that a little bit. But maybe he just locks on to what that first read is or certain receivers. But you're right. It's been very apparent in their two losses that there were plays to be made, and dude just missed them. Against Texas and against Ole Miss, there were touchdowns to be had, and he didn't even throw the ball that way. So yeah, that's been an issue. I think this Saturday will be the best version of John Mateer health-wise that you've seen. I mean, I think that you should expect that, right? One thing that really stuck out to me is from the Ole Miss game to the Tennessee game, in terms of running the ball, he looked like a totally different dude. In my opinion, he hasn't looked worse running the ball than he did against Ole Miss. And then in a week's time, running the ball against Tennessee, he looked like the old version of himself. So I would guess with 2 weeks in between those games, you're going to see John Mateer run the ball a lot. You're going to see kind of that version maybe that you saw against Michigan, going to be the best version of him. But you're right, man. There's going to be plays to be made down the field. Not a lot of them. Not a lot of them. But enough of them, and you better see it and you better hit it on this Alabama defense. But I think a lot of that comes to maybe not trusting his protection, but he's got to stick in the pocket, because for a long time, their offensive identity was, let's snap it to Mateer, let him roll outside, and either he'll run and take off or just find some random receiver down the field for a big game. Like, that's been their offensive identity for the majority of the year, and that's no way to live in the SEC, man. It's just not.
Have you been impressed with the strides they've made, at least on the offensive line, playing so many young players? It's very difficult to do in this league, yet they're kind of getting away with it up to this point.
I mean, they got two true freshmen starting tackles up there. I know they lost against Ole Miss, but you come out of that game saying, hey, they weren't elite. They weren't great, but they were good enough. And the thing is people were so excited because that five that started against Ole Miss started against Tennessee. And that was like the first time this year where they had the previous five starters start the next game. And that should be the case at Alabama on Saturday. So yeah, like you kind of take a look at this group in two SEC games and you say, we can work with this group. I like to see this group kind of grow up together along the way. It's never ideal to have two freshmen starting tackles playing for you, especially going to Bryant-Denny Stadium against Alabama with a good defense, but it's the best of what they've had this year. I mean, this is the best five. At least they found their five. You'd like to find your five in the non-conference portion of the schedule, but we're in November and OU found its five, and I'm just glad they found it because they need to, and you can really work with that moving forward. But yes, Michael Fasusi, Ryan Vogier have performed well. Eddie Pierre-Louis, a young offensive lineman as well, has brought some nasty that's very needed to this group. It's been good. It's not perfect, but it's been a lot better than what it was, because they were struggling to run the ball against Kent State not too long ago. So, yeah.
Well, speaking of you're struggling to run, like you referenced, that's what everybody does against this Oklahoma defensive front. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Tyler, but I believe on the Wednesday night availability report, R. Mason Thomas was listed as questionable, if I'm not mistaken. Do you think he plays in this game? And we haven't seen the Thursday one yet, so that this could all change by Thursday night.
I don't think that R. Mason Thomas plays this Saturday. That's a big deal, man. He was just on the Bednarik semifinal list earlier this week. I mean, he's one of the best defensive players in the country, so it's not ideal. He's one of the best pass rushers in the SEC. Now, they did play virtually the entire game without him against Tennessee, because the first touchdown that OU had in that game, the biggest play maybe in Brent Venables' career, is the play that he got hurt on. And it looks like it was a quad injury. So they didn't play. He didn't play the rest of the game, and they were still able to give Joey Aguilar and that Tennessee offense some issues. So they're so deep on the defensive line. They're still going to have production at that spot. But, dude, he's probably your best player on defense. You want him. The one, honestly, that I'm concerned with from that availability report, because just haven't really thought that R. Mason Thomas was going to be 100% and being ready, able to go. Jaden Jackson, dude, the sophomore, was also on the availability report and listed as questionable. That would be a big deal and a tough blow to OU if R. Mason Thomas doesn't play and Jaden Jackson doesn't play, because he is, I think, one of the better interior defensive linemen in the SEC. And you've got to be as close to full strength as possible against this Alabama offense. Because you, I mean, that's the biggest key, man. Can you get pressure on Ty Simpson or not? Can you make him have his bad game? Can you make him uncomfortable? Well, the way that you're going to have to do that is with getting pressure on him. And with R. Mason Thomas, if he's not able to play, and Jaden Jackson getting pressure from the inside, I mean, it makes it a lot more difficult. Oh, you can do it, but it makes it a lot more difficult.
Hey, I'm so glad you said that, Tyler, because that was going to be my next question. Keys to beating Alabama, you already referenced the pressure, getting a Ty Simpson. Is there anything else? If Oklahoma wins this game, what else happens on a Saturday night?
Kirk Herbstreit gets pissed off once again about Tate Sandell's pants, and he sets a Bryant-Denny Stadium record this time around for longest field goal, which I think would be 58 yards, if I remember correctly, when I looked that up yesterday. But in all seriousness, it's you gotta make Ty Simpson feel uncomfortable. He still can't have a one next to his name in terms of interceptions. You got to make him at least throw one, maybe even two. And special teams, man, I mean, Alabama's going to hit on their plays down the field. They just are. So can Tate Sandell be awesome again? And can you force Alabama into some mistakes? Because I don't think OU can win this game if Alabama doesn't turn it over. I don't think that can be the case. As simple as it is and as lame as it sounds, OU's got to win the turnover battle 2-1, 2-0, I think, to win this game. But I'll say this, and maybe it sounds like a hot take, I don't know. I think OU's got a chance because I think this is the closest that OU and Alabama roster-wise have been in a long time, man, long time. And I know that OU beat Alabama last year, but come on, Bama was the better roster. I know that OU beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, A.J. McCarron's last game at Alabama. Alabama's roster was much better. This is the closest the rosters have been in a long, long time between OU and Alabama. And I think it's going to be a close game late, and we'll see if OU can make the plays to win or not on the road. But it's a huge game, like I said, for Brent Venables. If he wins this game, boy, you guys are having some interesting conversations about him. I mean, a lot of people are having a lot different conversations, not just about Brent, but the direction of the OU football program and everything else.
All right, so last thing then, Tyler, I'm holding this episode till Friday, so do you have a prediction that you'd be willing to give us for the game?
You know, a great thing about a prediction on this show is that it never gets clipped and repurposed after it's wrong. So that's one of the many things I love about this show. You hold people accountable, which I love. So hold me accountable if I'm wrong. But I think it's going to be a close, pretty low-scoring game throughout. I know Alabama's nervous about their kicking situation, which it feels like they're always nervous about their kicking situation. I think Bama hits a field goal late to win it 2017 in a great game at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I think it's a game of the weekend, possibly low-scoring game. Bama gets them by a field goal. They just make one more play. Hope I'm wrong.
I mean, there's even a case to be made that Oklahoma at 9-3, depending on how the last two, you know, maybe, let's say they blow out Missouri and LSU, they're still in it for the playoff. I really, you're putting it in the committee's hands, obviously, but I don't think a close loss eliminates Oklahoma from anything. Do you?
No, I don't. Things are going to have to fall your way for sure. We need to get freaking Notre Dame a third loss. God, I'm tired of talking about Notre Dame and how they're one of the best 12 teams. No, they're not. The best thing they've done is lose two close games earlier in the year and beat TBOW out west at USC. I mean, they haven't done anything this year. They don't deserve to be in the playoff. But yeah, if OU is going to make it at 9-3, they've got to lose a really close game and play well. Because here's the thing, man. Like you mentioned about Missouri. Missouri could be a 6-win team by the time it's all said and done. LSU's already got a playoff contention. They could lose to Arkansas this weekend. LSU could be a 6-win team. This is really OU's final chance to impress against a team that people acknowledge like, hey, that's a good football team. Because I don't know how much credit they would get for beating Missouri. I don't know how much credit they would get for beating LSU. Everyone's going to be watching this game at 2:30. And you've got to play well. And if you're going to lose it, you better lose it close and lose it close at the end is what I would say. So, yeah, I agree.
Oh, wait. Hey, apologies, Tyler. I know I said last question, but you referenced this, so I have to ask you. That bitch out west, how much would Oklahoma, you and your the fans and all the listeners of the ref out there, how much would it please you for Lincoln Riley to take over LSU or perhaps even Ole Miss if Lane Kiffin leaves to Florida. Ole Miss is an annual opponent. I mean, you guys would have to have loved that.
It would be amazing. There's just one problem. That bitch out west is too scared to come to the SEC. He led LSU along for a long time, the time before LSU thought that they were getting him and all this. He would never come to the SEC. Dude's way too scared to come to the SEC. He'll go back to the Big 12 or he'll go back to that league. It'd be amazing, Mike, but he's not coming to the SEC. It's never happening. He's not that kind of dude. And if he did, and if I'm wrong, buddy, he'd get exposed so quick. And it would be, such a beautiful sight. Such a beautiful sight it would be.
All right, thank you. You set yourself up for that question, so I had to ask it. Tyler, before you go, tell my audience how to follow you, how to find the show.
I'm guessing everybody here likes college football, right? Well, go to the App Store, download KREF. I'm on from 3 to 6 Central every single day. We talk a lot of OU football, but we talk everything in the SEC, man. I've made fun of Brian Kelly a lot here recently. Definitely making fun of LSU. We've got Dory Noka on our station as well. He's on from 9 a.m. to noon, and he covers the entire SEC with awesome guests. So KREF in the App Store. We're talking college and SEC football all day long, man. And you were just on our morning show on Thursday morning. So we even get Michael Bratton on. So that's the big-time guest that I'm talking about.
Well, they got Cousin Shane first, so they were like, oh, we'll get the other guy now. You know what?